The book of Judges, the 16th chapter of the book of Judges. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. 16th chapter of the book of Judges. We'll start reading at verse number 4. It came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, Entice him and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him. And we will give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver. And Delilah said to Samson, Tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. And Samson said unto her, If they bind me with 7 green reeds that were never dried, then shall I be weak and be as another man. And then the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 green reeds which had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Now there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber. And she said unto him, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he brake the reeds as a thread of tow in broken when it toucheth the fire. So his strength was not known. And Delilah said unto Samson, Behold, thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, If they bind me fast with new ropes that never were occupied, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Delilah therefore took new ropes and bound him therewith and said unto him, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And there were liers in wait abiding in the chamber. And he brake them from off his arms like a thread. And Delilah said unto Samson, Hitherto thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, If thou weavest the 7 locks of my head with the web. And she fastened it with the pin and said unto him, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he wakened out of his sleep and went away with the pin of the beam and with the web. And she said unto him, How canst thou say I love thee when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these 3 times and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. It came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart and said unto her, There hath not come a razor upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, Come up this once, for he has showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. She made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord had departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass. And he did grind in the prison house. Let us pray. Father, I do thank you again today for your grace, your mercy, and your wonderful love for us. Thank you for the precious book, the Bible, the Word of God. And Lord, this morning we need your help. We need your power. And certainly ask that you do the same for Jerry this morning. We ask you also, Father, for our children's church there. Lord, take care of him, watch over him, give him power and wisdom this morning. And then, Lord, that the will of God be done here in this place this morning. Pray if should there be any unsaved. Oh God, this would be the day that they come to know Christ as their Savior. And I pray for we as Christians, oh God, that we'd be better for you than we've ever been before. Touch our hearts, Lord. Help us, oh Father. Lord, we can't do that. It's only you can deal with the heart. And we ask you please to do that and that the will of God be done in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I think it was about when I was about 10 or 11 years old. I believe I'm close on that. My brother, Delmas, was in the Air Force. And he came home and showed up at our house there outside of Fillmore, Indiana, a little country place, with a dog. And he told a story about this dog. And he said that down on the Chanute Field down near St. Louis, Missouri, where he was stationed, he said that that dog came in on an airplane, and a military airplane, and said they left him for some reason, and certainly probably not on purpose, but they left him, and that he just hung around there. You could tell he'd been trained very diligently, and he hung around there for about close to 2 months, and they didn't know what to do with him, and so Delmas just asked him if he could have him, and they said yes, and so he brought him home to us boys. That was left at home. There's nine of us all together, but there was boys left at that time. I think it was Marvin and Herschel and myself that was left there. And so he brought the dog home, and we named him King. And he pretty well become my dog. Now, you know, a dog's everybody's dogs, but he was pretty much mine. Everywhere I went, he went. And we just become real good buddies, and I thought the world of him, you know, and he become that dog that I wanted. At that time, for some reason, we didn't have a dog, and he was very special to me. Well, soon after we got him, I had a BB gun, as most, a lot of times, boys have, and I got my BB gun out and was going to go out and shoot. I don't remember the incident, why I was going to do it or what I was doing, but I got it out and began to shoot. And I picked it up and shot like that. And that dog immediately jumped up and grabbed the stock of the gun and pulled it out of my hand. Immediately. And he did that over and over. The other boys was sometimes would shoot rifles, things like that. He'd jump up and grab the gun and pull it out of our hands. He was trained to do that. He was a military dog, and he was trained to do that. He would sit and he would look up into the sky as airplanes would go over. He would watch these airplanes. You could tell he was used to flying on airplanes. But anyway, I trained him not to do that after that. You know, I didn't know why he was doing that. I'd get mad at him and say, King, what are you grabbing my gun for? What are you doing that? And I had literally teeth marks all over the stock of that gun where he would grab that gun and pull it right out of my hand. I didn't understand at the time until later on. Of course, they explained to me he'd been trained to do that. And so he was just doing what he had been trained to do. And like I say, he become a very special dog. And I imagine many of you youngsters around here has a very special dog, someone that's kind of very special to you. You may have grew up with that dog and become very special. And I think most young people usually need some kind of an animal like that, you know. We need dogs, not cats. But anyway, you have something, I'm sure, you know. I got older, and so I've got a calf now that is not a cat, a calf that is my pet now, you know. But anyway, I'm going to tell you a little fable about a dog. I read this story, and it was called a fable, and I preached a sermon concerning it. The fable goes that there was a dog that used to make its trip into town from out of town, go across this little bridge and into town, and would go to the butcher's market there, and the butcher from time to time would give him a big old bone, big old juicy bone. And he would take that bone and he'd head back for home, back across this little bridge that was across that little body of water there. And he would go back home and he'd sit and gnaw on that bone. One day he coming back from the butcher's shop and he stopped on the bridge. And it was real still that day. And I mean, just as still as could be. The water was just as still. And he was looking over the edge of the bridge. And he looked and he saw his reflection in the water. And he looked and he saw that big dog down there with a great big juicy bone in his mouth. He thought that bone looked bigger than the one he had. And so what he did, he barked at that dog. And when he barked, he dropped his bone into the water and lost it. I'm going to preach a message this morning, which I've entitled, The Dog Barked and dropped his bone. Amen. That's a good title for that message. Amen. And so we're going to preach to you this morning for just a little while. I want you to listen to me because it has a real meaning to it. It's happening all over this country. People are barking at what they've already got in their mouth. They've already got it. It's theirs. And they're barking because they're looking at something they think is better. You can find this in the scripture over and over and over. When you go back to the Garden of Eden, we find that there was Eve. She had everything. She had perfection. You got to remember that. Now, folks, this was a perfect place. God had made two perfect people there without sin. And it was a beautiful place. I can't imagine the beauty of that garden. Had everything. And only, God said, only one thing you cannot have, you see. You cannot eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. You cannot eat of that. And we find that Eve looked around and saw all the wonderful things she already had. I mean, they were hers. She could have them for the rest of time. She could have them. There's nothing would cease ever of having this beautiful garden. But she barked because she saw something that was she thought was going to be better that she wanted. And she barked and she dropped that which God had given her. That wonderful everything you can imagine. But the one thing she wanted more than that, she wanted that, and she barked and dropped everything. We're here today because of that. We're here today because that sin passed upon all men. You see, I mean, the whole human race was ruined because Eve decided, you know, there was one thing she couldn't have and she wanted it. And so she opened her mouth and dropped that wonderful, wonderful life that God had given her. And now sin has fallen upon all men. Preachers have to get up and preach. You see, we have to get up and preach. You and I have to go out and be a witness. Why? Because of what Eve did back there in the Garden of Eden. You understand what I'm saying? Because she wanted that one thing more than what she had. And I can't even imagine. If I could explain to you, I can't imagine the wonders of that place and what God had given them. And then also we find another man in the Bible by the name of Lot. Lot was a man that most of you know all about him. He's got quite a story. But if you look at the first part of his life, he was really blessed because he had an uncle by the name of Abraham. And God so blessed Abraham. And God blessed Lot because of Abraham. And they just had just anything. And even when Abraham stepped out of the will of God and went down to Egypt and finally came back out of there, of course, and got right with God. But Lot, you never find him getting right with God. You never find him building an altar. He went down there into Egypt and he got the taste of Egypt and he loved it. Now, I want to warn you today. I warn you over and over about this. But if you're backslidden from the Lord, you better listen to this preacher. You may go back down into the world and you may make it. You may even come back out and get right with God, but you lose so many things. But some of those you take with you may never come back out. Lot never came back out. Lot never did come back out. Oh, no, no. He loved it. He had a taste for the things of this world. So much so that even that he went and he sat in the gate of Sodom. You know all that story. He had such a taste for the well-watered plains of Jordan. You see, he had everything else. You can't imagine the blessing that Lot had being with Abraham. You'll find out there when they separated finally, they both was rich. They had all kinds of blessings. But he looked and he saw those well-watered plains of Jordan. And he looked at them and decided he wanted those. See, basically what he did was he just simply barked and lost what he had, looking for something better. Abraham said, God, whatever you want me to have, it's all right. I'll just take whatever land you want me to take. I want you to know something today. People are doing this all over this country. Now, I don't know whether you will admit to it or not, but you just better look at it. People are doing that all over this country. They're looking at the well-watered plains of Jordan. The well-watered plains, the things of this world. And they're looking at those things and they just can't stay away from them. They just, boy, that means more to them than anything spiritual means to them. You see, and so what are they doing? They're simply barking and dropping what they have. good relationship, a sweet relationship with God, and God has blessed and done so many much things for us, and yet we're unsatisfied. We're always wanting something more. People are losing their families all over this nation because they're looking somewhere else, wanting something better from this old world. And so they lose their family. They lose many times their homes and financially. You know why? Because they're looking for something greater, something bigger. They want more, 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 never satisfied. And so they bark and drop and they forget that they've already got the most wonderful things in the world when they have eternal life. They have eternal life. They have Jesus as their Savior. They have His promises of His book, and they won't pay attention to it. So what do? They look at that rig reflection, and it looks big, and it looks great. And then they look at this world, and they think that's really something big, and they bark, and they drop the bone. Hear what this preacher's saying? You know, same thing happened. You know, back in the early days when they was coming out into the wilderness, the Israelites was coming out in the wilderness, and God gave them manna to eat. Isn't that wonderful? God gave them manna. He just rained down manna every morning, gave them all they needed. You say, Brother Ross, if I had to eat the same thing every day, I'd get tired of it too. You might do that, but I want to tell you something. There wasn't nothing else to eat out there. They was in a wilderness. And God rained great, wonderful food called manna. It met every need of their life, had everything they needed. It was a picture of Jesus Christ. I suppose you know that. Manna was a picture of Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you, He's everything anybody needs. What did they do? Well, they barked and dropped the bone. Oh, they wasn't satisfied. They had to have something else. People today are unsatisfied with Jesus Christ. They're just unsatisfied. They just want the things of this world so bad that they just will not let Jesus Christ be that thing that they ought to have in their life. And He is satisfying. Jesus, the manna also is a picture of the Word of God. And so, of course, Jesus is the Word. And it's a picture of the Word of God. It's what you and I need. Talked about this a little bit in our Sunday school class, but if you don't get into the Word, that one of the reasons that people get backslidden is because they don't get into the Word. You need the Word of God. You need God's Word in your life every day. You need a little bit of it in your life every single day of your life. Amen. That's why you come to church. You need some preaching from God's Word, you see. But it's a picture. Manna is a picture of the Word of God. And I go back to, I think it was in Jeremiah, the 36th chapter of the book of Jeremiah. Jehoiakim was the king at that time. And we find that he was unsatisfied. Jeremiah had written something from of God's Word. Baruch is the one that done the actual writing, which was his helper there. But the Word of God was written down, and finally it got before the king to be read before the king. And the king took it, and as they would read a certain leaves, I think they called them in the Bible, leaves, and he would read a few of those, he'd take his penknife and cut it up and throw it into the fire. Unsatisfied with the Word of God. But he didn't destroy the Word of God. You can't destroy the Word of God. God just had Jeremiah write it again, and then he added some other things too. You know, amen. And so what I'm just simply telling you, you're not going to get rid of the Word of God, but people's trying to do that today. You know, they'd like to, Satan would like to get rid of it. He found out he can't get rid of it, so he wants to pervert it. He wants all these little perversions, type of what they call translations, instead of just sticking with the Bible, the Word of God, the King James Bible. They want to put all of these perversions out here. So, and it's just like taking a penknife and cutting it up. There's so many things that's taken out of those perversions. They're not the Word of God anymore. It's just absolutely destroyed as far as being the true, proper Word of God. Now, I'm saying to you folks, listen, we ought to be satisfied with God's Word. Amen. We ought to be satisfied with Christ. We ought to be satisfied with His Word. But know what they're doing? Well, they're just looking around and they think they see something better. Oh, that would be better. So they bark and they open their mouth and they lose the precious Bible, the Word of God. Amen. And they go to something else. They get something less. You hear what this preacher's talking about? You young people and all of us, let's just get you an old King James Bible and just read it and study it. Just stick with it for the rest of your life. Teach your children to love it and just help them to read it. And you see, and you young people, when you get children, teach your children and your grandchildren and just keep them with the old Bible, the Word of God. Amen. You just keep doing it. Don't open your mouth and looking at something and think you get something better. You're not going to get something better. You're going to lose what you got. You see, so we just need to realize that we just need to be satisfied with Christ. We need to be satisfied with His Word. I remember when Joshua had that great victory there at Jericho. You remember that story? They marched around that seven times, you know, and the walls come falling down. And it was a great victory. God gave them a great victory there. And then old Achan wasn't satisfied. No, Achan just wasn't satisfied. He saw the great victory of God, what God done there. My, what a wonderful victory. That walls just come crumbling down flat. What a victory. But old Achan said, wait a minute, I see that Babylonian garment, and I see that silver, and I see that gold. And God had already told him, now don't you take any of that. You can't have any of that. You leave that alone. You can't have any of that. No. And but Achan said, no. He said, I, what he done is he looked at the reflection, you see, down into the old world. He looked and he said, I see something better. I see that, and I see the gold, and I see the silver, and I want it. And he took it, and he hid it, you see. But God didn't let him get by with that. You know the story. God didn't let him get by with that. And so finally they found out that it was old Achan that done it. So what happened? Well, he ended up being stoned in the Valley of Achor. And his family. And what I'm saying to you may not want to accept it. You may not want to believe it. You may just sit there and, well, don't make a difference what the preacher said. I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of Achans in the world today that's looking at the old world and its gold and its silver and the Babylonian garments. That's the fashions of this world. Amen. That's the fashions. And the Babylonian garments. And they're looking at them and they're loving those. And they'd rather have them than the things of God. You see. And so what do? They look and they see that, and they open their mouth and they bark, and they lose what they have. And it affects their family. I just want to tell you something. Now you don't have to believe this preacher, but you can't walk away from God without affecting your whole family. Because while you're walked away from God, you're teaching your children and your family how to walk away from God. You hear me? You better listen to this preacher. You better get right with God. You better do right. You can't win that. There's no way in the world you can win that. You need to walk with God all the time. See, you're that old Achan thought, yeah, I'll hide that. Boy, I'll help my family. Oh no. He didn't help his family. He destroyed it. You hear what this preacher's saying? Amen. So you better remember. See, you look at a reflection. You see all those things that you want. Don't mean a thing. You're going to lose what you got. You're going to lose the good things, see, that you have, you see. David did this too. You know, David sitting up on top of his palace looking over, and he saw Bathsheba up there, you see. And you know what David had? David had everything. David had, he was a leader of a kingdom. There was nothing that David needed that God would not have given him. And I don't think he needed anything. He had everything he wanted. What did he do? Well, he looked out here and he saw Bathsheba taking a bath. And he said, man. And he opened his mouth and he dropped that which he had. You understand? I don't know, but listen to me. You men, you keep your eyes on your wife. You ladies, you keep your eye on your husband. Now you quit this. You're going to lose everything. You're going to think that's better. There's nothing better on the grass isn't greener on the other side of the fence. No. And you're going to open your mouth. You're going to bark. You're going to lose what you got, buddy. You better look around and see what you've got. How precious it is. How wonderful it is. What God's give you. Amen. You young people, you keep yourself pure. Care what your friends do, supposedly friends. I don't care what they do. It doesn't make any difference. You keep yourself pure and clean. You drop that and you can't ever regain it again. No, you can't regain purity. You may go on in life, but you won't regain purity. Amen? Hear what this preacher's talking about? You see, what I'm saying is, folks, look around and see what you got. Isn't it wonderful to have a pure life? Young people, isn't it wonderful to grow up just pure? And good. And you don't have to worry. One of these days you're going to get married. And you're going to walk down that aisle with somebody very special. Amen. Amen. Pure and clean and ready to go on in life. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? See, that's the way it will all be. See, if you bark, you open your mouth, you drop all of that, you've lost it. Amen. Gotta remember, it isn't worth it. David, I'm sure after that, would have said to us, oh my goodness sakes, I wish I hadn't have done that. The other day we was down at the courtroom with Brother Abel on the case there with his daughter, and we got to see a few things going on before his case come up. And I can't remember, Brother Abel, maybe somebody else can remember. I know there was at least two marriages dissolved right in front of our face. Was there more than that? I couldn't hear everything. But I know there was two. The judge said, marriage is dissolved in a moment's time. Yeah. Marriage is dissolved. It's going on over the country. Did you read over in, I think it was Vigo County? I can't remember if this was last year. I think it was 500 and some odd marriages. I think it was in Vigo County, 500 and some odd marriages and 700 and some odd divorces. You know what they're doing? They're opening their mouth and they're dropping what they got. Terrible. No. Don't you do that. You look around and keep what you got. Thank God for what you got. Amen. I couldn't get over it. I sat there in that courtroom and I said, my goodness sakes alive. Just like that, judge said it's over. Boy, it's sad. Amen. Just dropped what they had in a moment's time. Amen. You remember back in the book of Esther, old Haman? I won't take a long time talking about Haman. You remember the story of Haman. You see, he hated Mordecai. He hated him. And Mordecai was a Jew. Do you ever think about what Haman had? If you will read the scriptures there, Haman was rich. He even gave a lot of money to the king, into the coffers of the king, so that they could help destroy the Jews. I mean, he was rich. He had a high position. He was right underneath old King Ahasuerus. I mean, he was right there, right underneath him. He had everything, but he looked and he saw old Mordecai over here wouldn't bow down and worship him, wouldn't bow down to him as he came through, and he couldn't stand that one thing. One thing he couldn't take. And he barked and he dropped his bone. Hung on the same gallows that he had made for Haman. Amen. And he had everything. You read the scripture. I mean, he had everything. People's doing that today. Looking around, seeing all that they've got. And, ay, what a blessing. One little thing gets to them. One little thing they've got to have. They've got to do this. They open their mouth and they bark. They bark and open their mouth and drop their bone. Shame. Just a shame. We find old Judas did that. I think about that a lot of times. Think about Judas. Think about the disciples that walked with Jesus Christ. I can't imagine that, but you walk with the Lord day after day after day after day. There were 3 years of ministry of disciples there walking with Jesus and seeing all that he done, seeing all the miracles that he performed, seeing how he healed the lame people, made the blind to see. It's just marvelous. Think and hear him speak. Hear Jesus Christ, the Son of God, speak. Tell him a Sunday school class. Everything he said was God's word because he's God. Yeah. Everything he heard. And Judas had the privilege of walking with him and seeing him and hearing him speak and seeing him do all of these miracles. 30 pieces of silver came by. And he barked. Dropped his bone. Dropped everything he had. You hear what I'm saying? One little thing, 30 pieces of silver. Later on, took it and threw it down in the temple floor and walked out, went out and hung himself. Whew. Imagine, over 30 pieces of silver, lost his opportunity for eternal life, lost all he had. There, with seeing Christ and walking with Jesus, lost it all. People are doing that today. Oh yeah, people are doing it today for money. Yeah. For money, more important to them than eternal life. There may be folk in here today that's unsaved. They'd rather have their money. They'd rather have that than Jesus Christ, the Son of God. They don't want to look at their pride and realize they're just old prideful folk and they're old sinful folk. No, they'd rather have what they've got instead of accepting Christ and being saved. See, if you're here without Christ, you need to be born again. I don't care who you are. So you need to be born again. You need to be saved. It isn't worth it. No, it's not worth it, you see. Don't look at the reflection down in there and see all these things of the world and see this 30 pieces in silver and say, oh, I want that more than I want anything else. Oh, no, no, no. You lose the greatest gifts that you could ever have, the gift of eternal life. Amen. I think about Demas a lot of times too in the Bible. I believe Demas was a saved man. One place in the scriptures, Philemon, the Bible calls him a fellow laborer of Paul. I believe he was saved. Saved as he could be. But you know what he done? He walked away. He walked away from Paul. You know why? Because he loved this present world. That's exactly why he walked away. Having loved this present world, he went to Thessalonica. You hear me? Oh, there's multitudes, multitudes. Old Demas, see, he barked and lost what he had. Went back in the world. He loved this present world more than he loved the things of God, the work of God. Folks are doing that all the time. See, you're going to lose everything you had. Blessings of God upon your life. You're going to lose them. God won't bless you. No, he will not bless you. You walk away from God and love this old world. I don't know what happened to Demas after that, but I want to tell you, he wasn't a blessed man. God don't bless servants that's not faithful. Right. Amen. Might have been his child, but he don't bless servants that's not faithful. You understand me? See, that's what Demas did. You see, everywhere you look. Well, let me say this to you. We as a church has to be careful. I think about Solomon a lot of times. I think about all the wisdom that Solomon had. Solomon was a wise man, and he was a rich man. And you know what caused him to turn away? Women. Did you hear what I said? And he lost all that he had. He's written down in scripture about him turning his heart away from God. I want to tell you, we at the church, we've got to be very, very careful. We've got to be careful that we don't substitute the wrong thing for church services. We've got to be very, very careful that we don't substitute prayer and soul winning for methods. Methods is not what's going to get it done. It's soul winning. It's praying is going to get the job done. See, David moved the ark, but he moved it the wrong way. You see, we can do the work of God, but we can do it the wrong way. Amen. We've just got to be careful about this thing. I'm just simply saying, you see, Jesus is the one that said he would build his church. Told a pastor this week, he called me. We was talking about it. And he said, Brother Ross, don't seem like my church is growing just like a lacquer for two and all this. And we went out into long detail. I won't tell you everything. And I said, well, what's the matter? And he said, I don't know. He said, I want to see my church grow. And I said, listen to me. Jesus said, I will build my church. Let him build it. It's his church. It isn't yours. In your church, it's his church, and let him do the building of it. You just be the servant. You do whatever he says and do what he wants you to do, but you remember, he's the one that does the building. Let me tell you real quickly one thing I told him. He said, I'd like to see us jump up, or I'd like to see us have 100, 150. I said, well, that'd be great. And then I said something to him. He said, what are you going to do with them? Oh, he said, I can find room for them. I'd set them outside. I didn't say that. I said, what are you going to do with them? You see, God don't bless a church. Now Satan does sometime. People go to places where they ought not to go. But you listen to me. When God blesses a church, it's because that church is ready to handle that which he sends them. I mean, if you had a baby you was going to give away, who would you give it to? Would you just give it to somebody who didn't care about babies? Would you give it to somebody who wasn't prepared to take care of that baby? When Jesus gives the church a new convert, that's a new baby, it's one of his. And he wants that church to be ready and prepared to take care of that baby. Churches, a lot of churches not growing today because they're not ready. They're not prepared. Not prepared to take care of the babies, God's babies, new converts that God wants to send them. Don't get in so big of a hurry for this church to overflow. If they come in here, we got to be ready to take care of them. D.L. Moody told a man one day, he's griping. He said, I only got 100 folk. He said, I don't know what to do. He said, I can't seem to get any more. He said, that's a plenty to be recountable for at the judgment seat. Because we will be accountable for them. Amen. So we got to be careful. Churches are dropping the ball all over the place. They're just dropping it. They're not sticking with the old stuff and sticking with the Word of God and doing what's right and doing just keeping right on down the line like Jesus built His church. Same way in raising children. We've taken away from the Bible what God says about children raising. We want to raise them our way. You see, we look down and we know reflection down into the world and we say, that's a better way to do it. Dr. Spock has the right idea. No, Dr. Spock don't have the right idea. God has the right idea. Amen. You raise children the way God says to raise them. You discipline them. You do. You don't give them everything they want. You train them and you teach them and you teach them how to work. And you teach them to show respect to other people. You train them upright. You see, teach them God's way, not the world's way, and you'll raise up some good children for the glory of God. Fashions are the same way. I mentioned that earlier, but I want to tell you something. What the Christian has done, they've looked into the old world, a reflection of the old world, and they've seen what the world is doing and what they're wearing, and they want to wear it too. I was trying to think what it was, honey. You read to me, I think it was last night, I can't remember, Talmage, I believe it was, said, you show me the plate of the fashion of any generation, and I'll show you the morality of that generation.
Right. Amen.
All you have to do is look around at the fashion of this generation, and I'll tell you, it'll tell you exactly what the morality is. You know what the shame of it is? I oughtn't to have to get up here. I oughtn't to, in school, have to get after these kids and make them dress right. They ought to dress right because they want to dress right. It ought to have to be a rule we make. It ought to be because they want to do that. We want morality in their life. But you look at the fashions that this old world has, and I'll guarantee you it tells exactly what the morality of this world is. And even the Christian world. Why would Christians want to go out here and show themselves? Why would Christians want to wear mini skirts and revealing clothing? Why would they want to do that? Why would they want to dress men dress like women and women dress like men? Why would they want to do that? Because they've looked down in the reflection of the old world. And they barked. And they dropped the morality that they had. They want to see what the world's got. Let's do it the world's way. Shame on us.
Yes, amen.
Done the same thing with our music. Mm-hmm. Same thing. Churches across this nation bringing this old contemporary music in, bringing this old rock music in. It's what they call it. It ain't music. It's junk. But they bring it in and they want to change. Why? Because they've looked in the world and they saw that's what the world is doing. They want to bring it into the church.
Yeah.
And they're doing it all across this land. The wrong kind of beat, the wrong kind of words, all kinds of things. Maybe people out here today, but let me tell you something. I don't know whether you liked Elvis Presley or not, but Elvis Presley was one of the most devastating people who ever walked the face of this earth in bringing the young people to the place of heading the wrong trail, down the wrong trail. He helped bring that, and we want to hold him up as somebody that's great and wonderful, like our mayor, ex-mayor used to do here in town here. Want to get out and act like him and sing like him and all of that junk. Elvis Presley brought devastation to the young people of America in his junk, supposedly, quote, music. What we need to get back to in our churches and across this land is good old solid music, just good old hymns and spiritual hymns and songs and the things that would honor God Almighty and keep them there. So what do? We looked down in the reflection of this old world and we saw what the world was doing and we wasn't satisfied. So what do we want to do? Oh, I could go on and I could go on and I go on, but I'm going to go back to my text for a few moments. So I read the text about Samson. Okay? You know what he had? He had the power of God on him. He had the power of God on him. I mean, Samson, God used Samson. He wasn't everything he ought to be, but God used him because he had the power of God on him. One time he killed a lion barehanded. Mm. One time he killed 30 men and took their garments. I've always wondered about this. How do you catch 300 fox and tie their tails together with a firebrand? How do you do that without getting bit? 300 foxes and turned them loose. Oh, man. With a firebrand between their tails. Burnt the Philistines' corn. He slew 1,000 Philistines with the jaw of a donkey. This was a man of power. Samson was surrounded one day by his enemies, and after midnight they wanted to kill him. And after midnight, he took the doors of the gate of the city, including the bar, and carried it to the top of the hill. Powerful man. Yeah. He had God's power on him. But he saw Delilah. He looked down in reflection of this old world, and he seen old Delilah, and he thought, boy, she's really something. Now, I want to tell you something. I've never understood it. All I know is what it says. The Bible says she just vexed his soul, kept after him and after him. But he knew what she was doing. He had done it. She had done it 3 times before.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he laid down in her lap, let his hair be cut. See, what he did was he looked at the reflections of this old world, barked and opened his mouth and dropped what he had. The great power of God. How you know he dropped the power of God? He didn't have the power of God because he got off of Delilah's lap and he shook himself like always before. And he thought he was just like he was before. And he did not know that God had departed from him, the Bible says. And they took him and they put his eyes out and made him grind in the grinding mill. You hear what I'm saying? You know why? Because he laid his head in Delilah's lap. Lost the power of God. Now, I'm just saying this to you. We can do the same thing. I think people are doing it all over this nation. There may be people right in here doing the same thing. Instead of being satisfied with God's power and the things of God, you're unsatisfied. You've got to figure out some way that you can get more and more and more and do it your way instead of God's way. And you open you bark and you open your mouth and you lose what you had. You don't have the power of God anymore. I'm saying to you folks, don't do that. Don't do that. This is a warning against, don't do that. You remember something. Knowing God, walking with God, having his power is more important than anything this world ever has. For your family, please, please, husband and wife, please don't walk away from God. For your family's sake, don't do that. Stay close to the Lord. Walk with him, love him, serve him, and bring your children up in the admonition and nurture of the Lord. Amen? Bow your heads, please. Close your eyes. Say, Brother Ross, I today know for sure, without any shadow of a doubt, I know that I'm saved, I'm born again. I know if I died today, I'd go to heaven. I know that for sure. Would you just raise your hand, please? Thank you. I know that for sure. Say, Brother Ross, I do not know for sure that I'm a born again child of God. If I died today, I don't know for sure I'd go to heaven. But I'm concerned about it. I sure would like to be saved. Not going to call your name out. Not going to come down and get you. I'm not going to do anything but pray for you. See, Brother Ross, I'm not sure I'm saved. Would you just raise your hand up, please? Raise your hand. Just raise your hand, please. I'm not sure. Say, Brother Ross, you preached today about the dog who barked and opened his mouth, of course, and dropped the bone. That's what I've done. Things of God are not where they ought to be in my life. They're not the priority in my life. And I've let other things come ahead. Riches and things like that is more important to me anymore than the things of the Lord. Would you pray for me that I might turn my life around and do right? Just lift your hand, please, and say, pray for me. Thank you so much. Someone else, thank you so much. Thank you. God bless you. Someone else, thank you. Anyone else, thank you so much. God bless you. I see your hand. You can put them down. Someone else. Father, today I thank you for your kindness and goodness. I thank you for your wonderful forgiving, wonderful loving heart. that says even though we've walked away, we've not done right, you're always willing to receive us back. And Father, I thank you for those who was honest enough today to just simply say, you know, I need God. I need to turn my life from where it's going. And I need to realize what I've got is more important than what I look at and want. And so I ask you, God, to bless them, help them, those who raised their hand, showed a need, bless them real good, help them, and bring them back to yourself and encourage their hearts. And then, Lord, should there be any here unsaved, and maybe didn't raise their hand, but they're unsaved, help it to be the day that they come forward, put their faith and trust in Christ, and be born again. Your will be done in this invitation, and we'll be satisfied. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.